Well, greetings again. It is such a blessing to be here. After I was done sharing, sitting there, there's something I remembered that I just thought I had to share yet. I think it was in Broadway Junction last weekend when we were there in the subways. There was this lady that came up, and she was talking to one of the sisters, and then she also came over to me, and I'm not sure who she had been talking to there, but she said, "There's something very different about you all. I look at your eyes, and your eyes are so clear. There's something different. What is it?" Well, you know what it is, right? If you have a clear conscience and a clear heart, there's the glory of the Lord coming out through your eyes. And there's a bright countenance there. But she said, "There's something different about your eyes. All of you," she said, "I look at all your eyes, a whole group. They're all different. They're so bright. They're just so clear." That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Could we all kneel together to pray? Our Father, we thank you this morning for the blood of Jesus Christ that has washed our sins away. We thank you for dwelling within us. We thank you for peace and joy. We thank you for that light in our eyes. We thank you, Lord, that you have truly changed us. You've given us a new nature. You've made us, Lord, to be like you. You've given us new desires and all those things. God, we're here this morning to just grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. Lord, as we're here, as we allow the Word of God to penetrate us, and as I share, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name, would you give me clear thoughts and give me the ability, give me the burden, give me the ability to share the things that you have communicated to me, and help us, Lord, to be able to understand so that we can walk in a way that's pleasing to you. God, we're here as a local body. Thank you for what you've done. We know, Lord, that you have true believers all over the face of the world, and yet they're very, very few. God, we desire to be a part of that remnant, a part of that called out people. We desire, Lord, to not only us here today, but Lord, also as the days and years gone by, that our children and our grandchildren would grasp a hold of the kingdom, of the ways of life, of you, Lord. Oh God, we pray that we could be and become all you want us to be. Thank you for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I will try to make it short this morning. I've been considering the subject of fear. The subject of fear and what fear really is. And I know that every one of us faces fear from time to time. And fear is often viewed and looked at as a very negative thing, right? Yes and no. Good, I like that. Fear is often viewed as a negative thing, and yet I'd like to just take a bit of a look at. I believe that God has made us with the ability to have fear, and there are good fears, and there's bad fears. And there are fears that God would want us to overcome and get beyond, and there's other fears that He would like for us to be growing in. And so it's a little bit like pain is often viewed as a negative thing. Pain is normally viewed as a negative thing. But is it really negative? We often hear about the tremendous pain that someone goes through, the awful pain, the suffering that they go through. And even though we realize the struggles and some of the hardships that go through, flip that thing around and ask the question, how would it be if there was no pain? Okay? Arlen, I want you to come up here a little bit. And I'm just going to talk about pain. Now, I'd like for you to just slowly pinch me a little bit harder and pinch me and see what happens. Just slowly and a little bit harder and a little bit harder. Let's see what happens. Now, let's just suppose that there's really, it's coming. Slowly, I'll move away when it's hurting. It's hurting more. It's time for me to move away. See what happens? Okay, you can sit down. See that? Pain is often viewed negatively. And yet, I have heard of people who have had no feelings on their feet, and they've, whether it's walking or, they don't know how to take care of their feet anymore because there's no pain there. All of a sudden, they discover that the soles of their feet and in between their toes, there's horrible things happening in there, and they had no idea. And so pain, God made pain as a way for us to realize that there's actually something wrong, something going on with our bodies, and it can be a positive thing. And yet, there's times when pain is overwhelming. In the same way, I like to talk about fear. Fear is a very similar thing. Fear, it's good to have a healthy fear of some things. It's good if our children are close to the road for them to have a healthy fear and stay away from it, right? There'd be something wrong if our children had no fear to walk out in front of a car. And so there are certain fears and things that God wants us to have, and it's right in its proper place. Some of those fears and things, God has put them there in a very good, orderly, it's God's plan for us as mankind. Now with that, sometimes there are things that we have experienced and gone through that put maybe extreme fear within us in unnecessary ways that really plague us and actually hinder us from serving God in the way He really wants us, right? There are some of those things. And I'd like to just mention, actually, let me maybe first just quickly read here. 1 John chapter 4 in verse 18, it says these words. It says, "There is no fear in love." There is no fear in love. "But perfect love casteth out fear." Perfect love gets rid of that fear. "Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love." Okay? So, here he says, perfect love casteth out fear. And perfect love brings all those things into a right perspective, really how it should be. Now, I'd like to just mention some of the fears that we're plagued with at times. And I know that maybe some face fears way beyond what others do. And I'm just going to mention a couple, okay? But we're talking about fear. I just think about this. People have fear of the dark. Right? When it's time to go close the barn door at night and you run toward the barn, children, right? You run toward the barn and you look back, see if there's someone behind you. There's a fear. There's a fear of the dark. There's a sometimes a fear of the future. We have no idea what's going to happen. And so there's sometimes a fear of the future. Sometimes, mothers, there's a fear of what will happen to your children. Right? Mothers? Moms? You know, you're so protective of your children, and sometimes you wonder, what's going to happen? Is there going to be persecution? Are my children going to be taken from me? Are we not going to be able to even teach our children the ways of God? And there's fears come up. There's fears of the unknown. Sometimes there's fears of rejection. Sometimes you have gone through difficult things in your life that have been very, very difficult. And therefore you really fear being rejected by some friends, maybe by parents, maybe by whoever it might be. You fear rejection, and these fears plague you. Maybe there's a fear of not measuring up to expectations. Maybe there's a fear of doing something new because you fear failure. You fear like you're afraid that if you try something, you're going to end up just making a big mess out of it. Sometimes there's a fear of strangers. There's a fear of losing friends. There's a fear of dying. There's a fear of persecution. There's a fear even of the upcoming election. People sit on pins and needles today, don't they? Because they hear the news. They hear how bad these two candidates are that are up for election. And there's a fear there. Sometimes there's a fear that your children won't serve God. Sometimes there's a fear that your baby will die. Sometimes there's a fear, men, that you won't be able to make your payments anymore, and that you won't be able to supply food for your family. Sometimes there's a fear that you'll be misunderstood. Sometimes there's a fear of failure. There's a fear, maybe young people, that you'll never get married. Maybe there's a fear that you just simply can't measure up. And you have fears, right? Many of us face some kind of fears in one way or another. We face them, right? I do. As I was preparing for this, I was just sharing with my wife some of the fears that I have. And I don't know that they're wrong fears, because I don't think they're just overpowering me. And yet they're fears. They're there in a real way. They're there. And the question that I have, that I like to just consider, is how should we view fears? Are fears good? Are fears bad? How much do fears control us or plague us? And if they do control or plague us, what should we do about them? Right? I'd just like to look at a couple verses here in the beginning. In Genesis, it gives us this little story about Jacob. Jacob had gone and he had gotten married, and he was with Laban. And as he was with Laban, his flocks and herds had multiplied, and he had two wives, and he was there for quite a number of years. And then he was going to return to his homeland. And as he was journeying back to his homeland with all his family, his wives and children, and all the flocks and the camels and the sheep and all those things, as he was journeying, there was a messenger that came, and he said that your brother Esau, he's on his way. He's coming your way with 600 men. 400 men. With 400 men, he's coming your way. And can you imagine what happened in Jacob's heart on that moment? They're coming with soldiers, his brother, and he knew that his brother sought to kill him. And this is what it says. And the messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to thy brother Esau, and also he cometh to meet thee with 400 men with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people that was with him, and the flocks and herds, and the camels into two bands. And you know the story. God, he started crying out to God, and God heard him, and God brought deliverance. But he found himself in a great distress, and when he found himself in a great distress, he looked to the right source, and God took care of him. Here's another one. Here's an account of a man that faced fear. It was Lot. It was Lot. He had been in Sodom, and God had utterly destroyed Sodom. They had left. He had, you know, the angel had to drag him out, and they had left Sodom, and then they went over to Zoar, and they had gone into Zoar, and when they were in Zoar, they saw how utterly God had destroyed Sodom, and all the smoke and the flames, and he lost his wife and everything. He had a right, he had a reason to fear. But now listen to what happens here. And Lot went up to Zoar and dwelt up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar. Now he was afraid, right? Now was there a reason? Was there a good reason to be afraid? Yes, there was. After he left, God also destroyed Zoar. God destroyed it because of the wickedness. But he had a right fear. Now let's look at some other instances of being afraid. In 1 Samuel, it gives the story. It gives the story of David when he was fleeing from Saul, and how he went into the in with the Philistines. And while he was in there with the Philistines, he was trying to get away from Saul. He was with the Philistines, and there he was, and he was there for protection. But while he was there, all of a sudden the king, he said, "Who is this David? Isn't he the man? Isn't he the man that destroyed all these Philistines in days gone by? Isn't he the man that those young women called out and said, hasn't Saul killed his thousands and David his 10,000? Isn't this David? Isn't this the man?" And David realized that this king is against him. And this is what it says. "And the servants of Achish said unto him, Is not this David the king of the land? Did they not sing one to another of him in his dances, saying, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s? And David laid up these words in his heart, and he was sore afraid of Achish the king of Gath." Now, was that a proper fear? Yes, it was. He was afraid, and rightly so. Fear in itself is not necessarily always a negative thing. In Exodus, we'll look at a couple real healthy fears. In Exodus 14, we have the account of how the children of Israel, of how they came, they fled Egypt, they They were down at the Red Sea. God opened up the Red Sea, and I still have that picture. We were right there at the Red Sea where it opened up, and they went through there. But the children of Israel, a couple million people, passed through there. And then after they were just out, all the water closed in upon them, and it killed all of the armies of Egypt. It killed them all. Then listen to this, what happens. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the Lord and the people feared the Lord. They realized God destroyed all these thousands of people that were coming to destroy us. God killed them. And it says, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord, his servant Moses. Now, that's a healthy fear, right? There are types of fears that are good, that ought to be there. But then there's also negative fears. In Deuteronomy 13:4, it says, "Ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice. And ye shall serve him and cleave unto him." And this all is in the context that there is a judgment day coming, and every man is going to be judged for the things we do. And there needs to be a healthy fear of God in our lives. We need to fear God because God will hold us accountable. And so there is a healthy fear of God. I'd like to just tell you a little story about some eagles and how eagles function and how God uses that to teach them lessons. Eagles, the bald eagle specifically, normally builds his nest about 100 to 150 feet above the ground. He has a big nest, huge nest. Normally they lay 2 eggs. And for 31 days, those eggs are incubated and then they hatch. And these little eaglets, is that the name? They start growing. And they say, I think they're in the nest about 8 to 10 weeks. But they say that a small eaglet will not learn to fly if it isn't nudged or pushed out of his nest. If a small eaglet would be here on the ground and it'd be tame and we'd feed it, it would never learn to fly. That's what they say. They say these little eaglets are there, and the mother comes. It comes day after day bringing the food. And it feeds these little eaglets, and they grow, and they grow, and they mature. And eagles are very different than most birds. Eagles are one of those birds that most birds, they flap their wings a lot. Eagles are not that way. Eagles will literally sit there on their nest or wherever they are. They'll sit there for hours waiting for the right kind of wind. And when the right kind of wind comes, they just out and a couple flaps and they lock their wings and they soar with the wind currents. And they go as high as 15,000 feet. Simply by soaring those wind currents. And those eagles, they've learned that these little eaglets, because, you know, it's just instinct, but these eaglets, you know, they flop their wings, but they sit there in the nest. and they're afraid to jump off. They would never. And a small eagle will never on its own jump out of the nest and start flying. It never will. They never do. But there they are. They must have a bit of fear. But there they are. And then the mother eagle comes and nudges it out toward the edge. And, you know, there's fear there. And they don't want to go. But finally, the mother eagle pushes it out of its nest. And as it goes, you know, it's 100, 150 feet down. And as it goes, it spreads its wings. And they wait. They wait till the air currents are just right. They don't do it when there's no wind. But when the air currents are just right, they'll push them out of that nest. And that little eaglet will spread its wings and it'll fly. And as it clumsily floats down toward the ground, the mother will swoop down below it. And this little eaglet will be on its back, and the mother eagle will take it back into the nest again. And it'll never hit the ground. The mother eagle, or the mother, is looking out, and he knows, and she knows the fear, and she knows everything that's going on. But in the middle of all that, this mother eagle quickly goes down below, and the little baby lands on the back. She takes it back up in the nest. Actually, the Bible even talks about that. And I'd like to suggest to you that many are the times that's how it is in our Christian life. That there are fears and things that we're plagued with, and God is standing there. He's waiting. Sometimes he nudges us and gives us a push out of the nest. And we, in our fear and anxiety, we're not sure how to handle all this. But God, you know how he does? He just, right underneath, picks us back up again, takes us back up to the nest. Because he's taking care of us. Those little eaglets, that mother is teaching them to fly. That mother is teaching them how to relate to the difficulties and the hardships and how to walk from day to day. That mother is teaching them how to do that. I'd like to suggest that there are people who have never learned that God will really take care of them. And they feel pushed out of the nest, and they aren't willing to, when God comes down underneath them, they're not even willing to crawl back on God's back. If you may say it that way. You follow what I'm saying? There are healthy fears. There are things that we face. There's difficulties, and it is the will of God. It is God's will that we use those things to develop to maturity and learn to fly. Those fears aren't all negative. There are fears that do plague people. There are. I'd like to just speak to that a little bit. There are fears that I know, maybe various ones of you are sitting here this morning, and you feel like you're plagued with this fear day after day, and you're not sure how to deal with it. I'd like to just tell you that God in heaven is just like that mother eagle. You need to learn to trust him. He won't let you fall to the ground. He won't. His word says, I will sometimes leave you. Right? Everyone's smiling. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be there with you. I'll help you, right? That's what this word says. And so sometimes these fears that we face cause us to have unbelief in our heart and not believe what the Word of God says. The Word of God says He'll be there for us. The Word of God says He'll never leave us. It says that He'll be there to help us, to support us, to give us the strength and the grace. He'll be there. It says He will. Now, do you believe it? Sometimes it's hard. I like to just tell you, brothers and sisters, there are some of those fears that you have that you're plagued with, and it seems like you're going in a circle. God maybe nudged you out of that nest. He intended for you to fly, and He said, I'm going to be there. But you're standing there and saying, He's not even with me. Where is He? And all the while, God's right beside you. You just haven't seen Him. But the Bible says He's there. And He's going to take care of you. He's going to watch over you. If you're His child, then He's going to, just like, see, sometimes we have a wrong view, a wrong concept of God. God in heaven is just like our little children. Some time ago, we were chasing some cows, and we had a cow in our corral that was not safe. She was very upset, and she was dangerous. And one of my sons and I, we needed to go into the corral with a gate between us to move that cow. And Caleb was standing outside the corral, and he realized there is danger. And guess what he did? I was going through the fence into the corral, and guess what he did? I had told him, can you just stay right here outside the corral? And guess what he did? He came tearing into the corral right with me, right into the danger. Why? Because he trusted me, right? He trusted me. Well, God, and of course I took care of him very quickly, right? Isn't that how God is? Sometimes we think of God as out there. He's this God that doesn't care, that He has a big stick and all those kind of things. And we need to fear God and all those kind of things. But listen, if you have fears that you're going through, God is there just like what I was. He's our Heavenly Father, and I was jealous over my son. I wouldn't let him get close to that cow, even close. But he trusted me that he even went into the danger because he knew I'd take care of him. That is the kind of trust that we need to have, because God will take care of us in that way. He's swooping down underneath. That eagle, mother eagle, knows that little eaglet would never learn to fly. You put that eagle down on the ground and raise it on the ground, they never learn to fly. It's what they say. Put it up, the mother knows when the wind currents are right, and they push it out, and winds go out, and they start spreading their wings. In Psalms 46, 1-3, it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Would my son have been in trouble? He would have been in trouble running into that corral. But I quickly delivered him. That's a father's heart. And God in heaven, I'd like to just tell you, the fears that you face. You are facing some fears. There's maybe different ones of you that face personal fears that you're not sure how to handle. I'd like to just tell you and encourage you, God is there, and He would like to just do that swooping thing where He comes underneath and just takes care of you. He'll take you right up to the nest. He'll be there. Now, you can't feel Him. You can't touch Him. But He said He's there. So I believe it. I believe it. It's what the Bible says. A very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear the earth be removed, though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, even though all those things happen, we don't have to fear. There is a sense of fear, but it doesn't have to be that overwhelming fear. It can be the kind of fear where, God, I don't understand this. God, everything is going awry, but I am going to trust You. Somehow, I know You're right with me. And if You're right with me, though they kill me, I'm just going to a better place. You know, whatever happens, it doesn't say that there's nothing evil going to happen to me. There are times that evil things happen to me. But in the middle of all that, God is right there with us. In Hebrews chapter 13, 5 and 6, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me read that again. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Do you get the message? Just in short, we might face fears. There are some fears that are healthy. There are fears that sometimes are plaguing. God wants to turn those into situations that you really, they'll become a victory. God maybe nudged you out of the nest, and He's actually underneath you, but you just don't believe it. He's right beside you, but you don't believe it. All you can see is this steep cliff, and I'm going to fall over it, rather than trusting God. I'd like to encourage you, trust God. Trust God. He wants us to learn to walk. If you trust God and just embrace, you know, whatever it is that, you know, that's coming your way, just give it to God. Love God. Believe that He's there with you. Talk to Him about that. Trust Him. He'll take care of your fears. Those fears will start dwindling into a right place. So not all fears are bad. Actually, some are good. Plaguing fears, God doesn't want us to live in those. Those plaguing fears, God, you know, you might be in groping through the air right then, and God just swooping down, but you don't believe He's with you. I just believe Him. Trust Him. He'll help you. Fear. God can turn those things into good things. Lord bless you.